everyone. Captain Mark here, and you're listening to Fishing Around Bristol, Rhode Island. So on my way home today, I was listening to Matt Allen, a local talk show host on WPRO here in Rhode Island. He was talking about an article that was in the Washington Post, I believe, and it was about how teenagers these days are not all that anxious to get their license. They're waiting till 17, 18. They're in no rush to get their license. And he was saying how much, you know, he couldn't wait to get his license. And it gave me a flashback to about when I was 16, that absolutely we felt that way, me and my buddies. I'm 59 now, so you guys could do the math. But I was so anxious to get on the road, to be able to go out, hang out with your friends, and just get out of the house and experience life, and to get a job and make some money and what have you. But I can't remember why I didn't take driver's ed. I don't know if we had the money or if it was too expensive those days or how it worked. I'm not even sure the school might even offer it, but I think it was a cost. But I remember I had an idea to buy a motorcycle. My good friend Bob Copeland, one of my best friends, he already had his motorcycle. He had a 350 Yamaha all decked out. He was a couple of years older. And so I got the idea from him to buy a motorcycle because at 16 and a half, I could be on the road with a permit and at least drive by day. So rather than waiting to 17 or later, so I could beat the system a little bit and do it that way. So I remember him and I checking out a bunch of different motorcycles, but we lived in Sudbury, Massachusetts, and we ended up in Concord, Massachusetts at a guy's house. And he's like, there it is in the back corner of his garage. It was in mint condition for the age. It was a really old Yamaha 250. Two-stroke, which you can't even buy now for the street, but I believe. But I was at the back of the garage. We kind of had to dig it out, and he says, I haven't been able to start it for years. So we're like, what do you want for it? And he's like, if you guys can get it started, you can give me $1 a cc. So we pulled it out in his parking, you know, in his driveway. And we started working on it, pulling plugs out, cope had all kinds of nifty tricks, and can't believe I just said nifty. But so we pulled the plugs out, we cleaned them off, we took a lighter to them, heated them up to get the oil off, all this other stuff. Next thing you know, boom, we fired it up, bought it for $250, brought it home, and you know, did some other repairs to it or whatever, or fixed it up, but I was on the road. Yeah, absolutely. We could not wait to get on the road, but that was our only source. I mean, other than friends in the neighborhood, you needed to get a car, you needed to get out there. But these days, I think the situation is that, especially with COVID and everything else, but just in general, video games and there's just so much social media, so many ways to connect without having to go meet in the Star Market parking lot like we did. I don't know. It's just different. But I thought I'd share that little tidbit from the ride home. So now on with the podcast. I'm sure by now it's probably painfully obvious that I'm very new at this and I'm trying to figure it all out. And where to start, how to format it, or outline it. But anyways, I think what I ended up doing is listening to the first podcast and taking notes all the way through, just things I touched on. So I think I'm going to back up and now do the same thing for each podcast and try to elaborate on some of that. Like this podcast, I think I'll talk a little bit more about the Grady White T19, which is a 19-foot boat, the first boat I had when I got down here. So I'll just do that. So that's a cool story, too, because after looking at a number of used boats, online and Boat Trader, stuff like that. I decided I wanted a bow runner walkthrough, and I decided I wanted a Grady White after seeing a number of them. But every time I got just close enough, I couldn't get to it in time, and it was sold because a very popular boat. So long story short, I ended up finding one at the very end of Long Island, New York, way out on the tip. I think it was called Orient, the town. And so I ended up talking to them, talking about the boat, and I bought it sight unseen, other than all the pictures I had. So I bought it, and then it didn't come with a trailer because it was at a marina. So then I had a new problem. So I don't even know how all this came about, but I knew there was a ferry and started calling about used trailers there. And I ended up getting, he ended up offering to go over on the ferry because he does it all the time. He deals with this marina, coincidentally. So he ended up offering to go over on the ferry with the new trailer, get the boat, and drive it all the way up to me here in Rhode Island for a fee, which was very reasonable. So that's how I ended up with my first boat from Long Island all the way out to the point of Long Island. It came over on a ferry, and then he drove it probably 2 hours or more up to me, made the transaction, and checked it all out, and it was awesome. 4 years straight, engine started every time. It was just a beautiful used boat, and it was a 1995. So I ended up putting maybe, I don't know, $1,000 worth of paint and cosmetics, and never had to do anything to the engine. I added electronics and a Minn Kota spot lock trolling motor, as well as a Lowrance fish finder. I also bought a new ship to shore radio, but all those electronics I've removed and I have right now to put on to the new boat I bought. So I didn't put, so back to about, because I took all the electronics off, go back to about $1,000 worth of cosmetics that I put into it. And actually, I bought a trailer also. I bought a new trailer along the way for it, a better trailer. That was about 1500. So long story short, I kept it for 4 years, had a great time with it. We did a lot of fishing out of it, and I ended up selling it recently last year, and I made 4 grand on it. So definitely can't go wrong with that. So now I have a 23-foot Cuddy Cabin Striper boat that I bought. That's kind of cool too. We were on vacation when we decided to, well, when I actually found the boat I wanted. And it was across Mount Hope Bay from us. Again, it didn't have a trailer. It was on the other side of Mount Hope Bay at a marina. Again, long story short, we ended up buying it while we were on vacation, putting it in the water about 2 miles, 3 miles away up the Saconic River, and driving it back to my mooring. Because I didn't have a trailer and I brought my kayak also, so we kept it on the mooring the whole vacation, and I managed to track down, buy a trailer, and now it's in my yard. But I need to transfer the Minn Kota trolling motor, my depth finder to it, because again, this is an old boat also. I think it's a 2000, early 2000. So I'm going to replace most of the electronics. A couple of motors need to be, not motors, but for the live wells that are on board. I got to pull those out, try to get those working or replace them. But most, as far as a boat goes, I had it checked out by a surveyor, and to make sure that the boat is solid, it's absolutely solid. Just needs a lot of cosmetics and tender loving care, but that's the kind of boat I like to have for fishing out here. But the 19-foot was just too small. Even out here, even just Mount Hope Bay or anywhere on Narragansett Bay, that southwest wind gets ripping, and you're really tossed around. So I got a chance to take this out a few times before the season ended, and what a difference. What a difference. I can go out in any kind of weather in this, and it's going to be a whole new adventure this year. So I got a lot of work to do. I actually just uncovered it because the weather's been so nice, and I'm hoping for some good spots of good weather to get all this work done. Try to get out there for tog and blackfish. Probably late April, early May. So it's coming up fast. So that's where I'm at with the boat. And I'll keep you posted on further episodes on my progress with that boat. And like I said, the season's coming up fast. So I'm trying to get a few episodes out there that hopefully will get you hooked. And get some listeners so that I can get some guests. I've got a couple of my friends in mind that I work with, that since the season is coming up fast, one of the main keys of the interview would be to see when they, I'm sure they start thinking about fishing all winter long, but when they really start to get serious, what their first fish they're going to be fishing in mind is, and you know, as the season progresses, how they schedule themselves or, you know, line up each season of fish and how they go about preparing for it is what I'd like to know. And I'm sure you'd like to know too. So in the meantime, I will keep throwing out a few more podcasts like this, elaborating, you know, from one podcast to another, one episode to another. The next episode, I'm thinking about talking more about how I learned saltwater fishing, or was introduced to it when my parents lived down on Buzzards Bay, Cape Cod. That was a really interesting area to live and fish on. Also, after that experience, I had moved inland quite a bit and started doing more lake fishing and, you know, bass fishing in ponds and trout fishing. But I still wanted to go down to the ocean, so elaborate more on this on the next episode. But I ended up probably 2-3 years in a row fishing on Nauset Beach. I got a four-wheel drive vehicle, a Blazer, and registered it for a few years in a row on Nauset Beach. And we'd drive out there, you know, with all the poles set up in racks on the front or on top, the whole nine yards with surf fishing. And that was quite an experience in itself. So that will be coming up next episode. I hope you enjoyed this one, and thanks for bearing with me as I explore the podcast world. And happy fishing, everybody.